On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach has labelled a Donegal deputy Quasi Doherty. A warning for people in Buncrana to keep doors and windows closed following an overnight fire remains in place. The Helping Hands project at the Family Resource Centre in Rafoe faces an uncertain future after a break-in at its base at the weekend. There's calls for safety measures to be installed at a busy junction in Letterkenny, and investigations are ongoing into a report of a car being hijacked in the Castlederg area this morning. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news, Quasi Doherty, that is what the Taoiseach has labelled Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty. In what has become the norm during a heated exchange between the pair, Leo Varadkar claimed it would take just one budget for Sinn Féin to wreck Ireland's economy. He was responding to Deputy Doherty, who was calling for more relief for tracker mortgage holders.
Seems to me that you've learned nothing from what's happened across the water, Deputy Doherty. You spent the last few months calling for a mini budget. After that, you called for a limitless energy price cap. We see how that has turned out in the United Kingdom, and now you have another set of populist promises to make to take advantage of people who have tracker mortgages. Like, when are you going to learn from what's happened across the water?
Quite the contrary,
Deputy. What the UK has done across the water, which they're now reversing, is exactly what Sinn Féin proposed. And now you have another populist promise that you want to calm people with. I used to think it would take 2 years for Sinn Féin to wreck our economy. I think it would take only one budget. One budget by Quasi Doherty would do all the damage.
Thank you. The cogency of the argument is not strengthened by just ignoring the chairperson. Okay, there's a time limit to make your arguments.
The Donegal Fire Service is continuing to ask people in the vicinity of Drumminore, Buncrana, to keep doors and windows closed as a precautionary measure following an overnight fire. Donegal's Acting Chief Fire Officer Michael Scott says at this time there is no indication that anything dangerous was burnt in the blaze at a recycling plant.
Fire started last night at approximately 12:30 and it's located in Drumminore outside Buncrana. It would be a recycling plant that caught fire. At that time we would have mobilised out approximately 4 appliances and a number of specialist units as well, Nansen Command Unit as well as high-reach platform. We currently have a number of excavators on the site at the moment as well. It doesn't seem to be anything too serious in it, but at the same time, we just want to be safe and we just want to advise anybody in the area, any of the residents, just if they could keep their doors closed and their windows closed, just in case there would be any adverse effects. But we don't think there's anything too serious in it, more general waste.
Voters in the north are set for another election in mid-December. It's after Stormont met today and failed to elect a speaker, which is necessary to officially elect a new First and Deputy First Minister. US Senator George Mitchell, who helped negotiate the Good Friday Agreement, says there needs to be patience in the north. He told an Oireachtas committee today that issues in Stormont need to be solved by MPs on the ground.
We have to keep reminding ourselves and them of what is at stake, what is at risk. There isn't any magic formula that I or any external person or force can suggest or impose on him. It must come from within, from the courage and strength and vision of the current political leaders.
Works are set to get underway on a new €7 million Burtonport sewage scheme. A new wastewater treatment plant and sewage infrastructure will be constructed as part of the project to eliminate the discharge of raw sewage into the sea. Once operational, the new plant and associated infrastructure will ensure compliance with wastewater discharge regulations and improve water quality in the local marine environment, as well as protect recreational waters. Works will be completed in the summer of 2023. Hickwell has issued reports on two accommodation providers for older people in Donegal. Fulcara Community Hospital had 11 residents when it was inspected in July, and Larissa Lodge in Letterkenny had 42 residents when it was inspected in August. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
In the case of Fulcara Community Hospital, the inspector said the provider had failed to progress refurbishment work at the building in line with compliance plans submitted after the previous inspection. In addition, the provider had not made necessary arrangements to prevent residents and staff from accessing the unmaintained and unsupervised parts of the centre, and as a result, residents and staff were found accessing these unsafe areas. Non-compliances were recorded in the areas of governance and management, premises and infection control. A report on Larissa Lodge Nursing Home in Letterkenny noted several improvements from the previous inspection, but added that significant focus is now required to ensure the residents are adequately supported in line with their social care needs and their preferences and capabilities. One non-compliance was noted in the area of governance. Links to the full reports are available on our website, highlandradio.com.
The Taoiseach says Ireland can stretch itself more to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. Micheál Martin admitted there are problems securing accommodation ahead of an incorporeal cabinet meeting to sign off on new measures. They'll include a doubling of the assistance payment to families who take in a refugee and further use of modular build housing. Taoiseach Micheál Martin isn't considering a cap on the number of Ukrainians arriving in Ireland.
I understand there are pressures, there's no doubt about that, given the sheer numbers that are involved. I think we can stretch ourselves more in terms of accommodating more, and we will work with our European colleagues because it's part of a European-wide response in terms of the directive.
The Helping Hands project at the Family Resource Centre in Raphoe faces an uncertain future after a break-in at its base at the weekend. Around €2,500 worth of equipment used in the maintenance of gardens was taken, including two lawnmowers, two hedge cutters, two blowers, two trimmers and a power washer. The items were taken when the container in which they were kept was forced open. The service closed on Friday afternoon, and when staff and volunteers returned on Monday morning, they noticed the break-in had happened. Melanie Sweeney is project coordinator of the centre. She spoke earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
The Helping Hands project has been operating nearly 10 years. It's there to support like older people in the community or those who are no longer able like to carry out like maintenance tasks outside the home. So like it's a really, really busy service. It cuts grass, cuts the hedges, cleans windows. It does so much, checking in with older people and stuff like that. It's just such a loss this week because obviously nothing's happened. Going forward, I don't really know what we're going to do. These tools would have had markings on them. Raphoe and DLDC would have been written in permanent marker, quite large, on them, and there would have been stickers as well. If anyone, you know, was offered something with stuff scribbled out on the side of it or anything.
There's calls for safety measures to be installed at a busy junction in Letterkenny. Concerns have been raised over dangers being posed to pedestrians crossing between Letterkenny Shopping Centre and Glenini House due to the speed of traffic on approach to the junction. There are fears someone could be seriously injured unless measures are put in place. Councillor Donal Coyle has proposed amber flashing beacons be installed. However, the council says different options need to be looked at. He believes other options, however, are available.
The reason why I put down this motion is quite a number of people have been asking me for the council to do something at that particular crossing because it is one of the busiest crossings in Letterkenny and it's very unsafe because for people coming, say, from the Glenini House side to cross over to the shopping centre, they have to cross two lanes and then go onto an island and then cross again. I'd say it's the busiest roundabout in the county. I was asking that amber flashing beacons would be installed there so that motorists would be aware that there is a crossing there.
With so many cars coming from both directions, those are two massive roads with a lot of road usage. So it's all about better signposting the fact that there are pedestrian crossings there, as well as making it safer for pedestrians and urging cars to pull up and to stop for that.
I wasn't that happy with the answer I got, but like since I put down the motion, look, there's a pilot scheme now being introduced by government in relation to not flashing beacons but reflective signs, which will be a lot easier to install. There'll be a lot less work involved and, you know, it would make motorists aware of the crossing.
Investigations are ongoing into a report of a car being hijacked in the Castlederg area this morning. Just before 6 a.m, it's believed a Kia Sportage and a silver colour BMW were involved in a crash on the Ballynalone Road. Eamon Tortney has more.
Following the crash, two men from the silver coloured BMW proceeded to assault the Kia driver before taking his car. The victim was treated at the scene for facial injuries. It's reported the silver vehicle was subsequently set on fire. Later, at around 6:45 a.m, police located a car believed to be the stolen Kia on fire close to the junction of Mulla Road and Drumlega Road in Castlederg. No persons were located at the scene. Detective Sergeant Ballantyne says this was a distressing and traumatic ordeal for the victim. Police have issued a number of specific appeals. They're asking anyone who has dash cam or other footage of the silver BMW prior to the crash, who saw the Kia being driven between Mahara Lock and Drumlega Road between 6 a.m. and 6:45 a.m, or who may have witnessed suspicious activity in the area, to come forward.
Donegal is to receive €10.4 million under the LEADER programme for the next 5 years. The money will go towards supporting rural communities and enterprises, with Agriculture and Marine Minister Charney McConnogh urging interested groups to apply for funding. He says the LEADER model has been a very successful project for the county.
A strong funding allocation is really important to enable our LEADER programme and companies in Donegal to actually fund significant schemes, programmes over the next few years. So the fact that we have the second highest in the country and it's €10.4 million is going to be welcome. It's going to run from January 2023 until the end of 2027. The management companies now in Donegal will really engage closely with local communities. Local communities have been key to driving this, to coming up with projects and new enterprises that actually can drive our county forward.
Obviously, DLDC and IDP have been central to coordinating LEADER in the county, but as well, of course, we have the Gaeltacht funding coming through Uthrus and the Ireland funding as well, so potentially even more coming to Donegal as a result of the Gaeltacht and Islands.
Inishowen Development Partnership and DLDC and the Uthrus and the Islands, all four of them have worked really strongly, because the effectiveness of this money really is down to how those management companies work with local communities to make sure that the projects that come forward are high quality, to make sure that the ones that will make an impact in the local community and the local economy, and also that they're ones that will last the pace. As the 5-year period goes on, we will look to see if that can be improved further, but certainly now is a key starting point to have €10.4 million.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Shamrock Rovers are without Graham Burke and Jack Byrne for tonight's Conference League game with Ghent. Having secured the league title at the weekend, Rovers boss Stephen Bradley has vowed to pick a strong team. There's an 8 o'clock start at the Tala Stadium. Group F's top two meet in Norway, with Molde up against your Gardens. And West Ham, they look to extend their 100% record in Group B with the visit of Salzburg to the London Stadium. And Hearts, they entertain RFS, needing a win to keep alive any hopes of a knockout place. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta has made 5 changes for their Europa League game away to PSV Eindhoven. Rob Holding, Kieran Tierney, Albert Sambilunga, Fabio Vieira and Eddie Nketiah all come into the side. Kick-off there is at 5:45. And Cristiano Ronaldo is likely to return to Manchester United tonight as they welcome Sheriff to Old Trafford. Republic of Ireland captain Katie McCabe is set to be in the Women's Champions League action this evening. Her Arsenal side will look to continue their winning start to Group C. They face Zurich. And Ireland's ladies under-17s defeated Northern Ireland 1-0 today in Belfast to progress to Phase 2 of the European qualifying. Jodie Lowery captained the girls in green once again today. In the Electricity League, Ollie Horgan's hoping there's a cake to come from his Finn Harps side in their crucial clash with UCD tomorrow night. Harps going to the game in Ballybofey knowing a defeat would mean relegation to the First Division. A win or a draw keeps the season alive. The Harps boss says they still have a chance, but they need to perform.
We are still in it as regards, you know, we're not gone yet, but we've no, you know, fallback after Friday. If we don't get a performance and a result on Friday, well, then we do go down and, you know, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. you know, we need everything to go well on Friday. Referees' decisions, we need to be up for it ourselves and deal with their strengths, and they have many, many strengths to the credit, GCD. We also need the supporters who have been brilliant this year, in particular this year in my time. You know, we're struggling week in, week out. They can see it, and in other years, they might have turned on us and turned on the players, which would have put them into their shell. They haven't, and that's not me, Oisin, trying to buy them over. We're well past that stage, and certainly I am. But they've been brilliant with us through thick and thin, and in games in particular at home where we didn't perform well enough. They didn't turn on the players to their utmost credit. And I'd love, and we'd love, to be able to give them something back on Friday to at least prolong our challenge, to see can we stay in the division.
Fan Harps against UCD will be live here on Highland Radio tomorrow evening from the 8 o'clock kick-off time, with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle in commentary in association with BNS Credit Union and Ballybofey. In some other news, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has been fined £30,000 by the FA after being sent off in their Premier League win against Manchester City earlier this month. The German reacted angrily towards the officials after a foul wasn't given on Mo Salah and apologised for his reaction following the game. The FA says he accepted his behaviour was improper. Gaelic Games, Ulster champions Derry have been awarded two spots in the 2022 All-Star selection, their first in 15 years. Derry veteran Chrissy McCaig is included in defence and becomes Slough Neil's first ever All-Star winner in their history, while Glenn's Conor Glass is named as one of the two midfielders. The duo are Derry's first All-Star since Paddy Bradley and Kevin McCloy in 2007. All-Ireland champions Kerry dominate this year's All-Stars football team. David Clifford is among seven players from the Kingdom included in the selection. Galway have five, Dublin have one. The hurling team will be revealed tomorrow. On the colleges front, the ATU Hurlers are in action tonight in Division 3 of the Hurling League. They play ATU Sligo, and Sligo, it starts at 7 o'clock this evening. Just like the men's footballers, the Hurlers are looking to make it back-to-back wins. In golf in the DP World Tour, Jonathan Caldwell has levelled par with three holes remaining of his opening round at the Portugal Masters. Cormac Shervin is two over par. Jost Luton is the clubhouse leader in Villamura with an 8-under par round of 63. And on the PGA Tour, Seamus Power's opening round at the Butterfield Bermuda Championship is just underway. American Austin Smotherman carried a flawless round of 62 to hold the clubhouse lead on 9-under par. In rugby, academy players Chris Cosgrave and Rob Russell will start for Leinster in tomorrow's URC game away to the Scarlets. Head coach Leo Cullen's deprived of a host of internationals, but is able to name a halfback partnership of Luke McGrath and Ross Byrne. The team will be captained by Rhys Ruddock. And finally for this evening, on the score this week, Ollie Horgan and Declan Boyle, they look ahead to Fun Harp's crucial tie with UCD in the Premier Division tomorrow night. Maxi Curran talks ladies and colleges Gaelic football. Paddy Hunter previews the Tyrone Senior Final. And Richard Kerr reflects on a winning season on the motorbikes. That's the score after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, staying rather cloudy for the rest of the day with good dry spells and just a few patches of light rain. It will be a breezy evening with lowest temperatures tonight of 9 to 11 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, the Donegal Fire Service is continuing to ask people in the vicinity of Drumnor, Buncrana to keep doors and windows closed as a precautionary measure following an overnight fire. Donegal's Acting Chief Fire Officer Michael Scott says at this time there is no indication that anything dangerous was burnt in the blaze at a recycling plant. Voters in the north are set for another election in mid-December. It's after Stormont met today and failed to elect a speaker, which is necessary to officially elect a new First and Deputy First Minister. Works are set to get underway on the new €7 million Burton Port Surge Scheme. A new wastewater treatment plant and surge infrastructure will be constructed as part of the project to eliminate the discharge of raw sewage into the sea. And investigations are ongoing into a report of a car being hijacked in the Castle Derrick area this morning. Just before 6 a.m, it's believed a Kia Sportage and a silver colour BMW were involved in a crash on the Ballynalone Road. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing from a technology specialist about Dairymaster, a Irish-based firm that has attained international acclaim, and many of its products are certainly known by people here in the Northwest. But first, the Irish Farmers Association's Farm Family Committee is running a webinar on farm health and well-being, and that takes place next Tuesday from 8 to 9 o'clock. Among the topics that will be covered are health issues among farmers, research findings on mental health and suicide among farmers, and farmer mental health and well-being. And there'll also be a question and answer session. Now, turning to technology, and certainly things are changing at a rapid pace. Dairymaster, based in Tralee, introduces new ideas and technology to the dairy farming industry. Farmers using its technology increase milk yield, reducing milking times, cutting energy costs, decreasing labour, and also improving herd health and conception rates. To find out more about the company, I've been speaking to software engineer Michael Ryan.
That's right, yeah, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show. Technology is now an integral part of your dairy farm and of all farmers now. You know, guys want all their information on their phone now. You know, it's just it's the way it's gone. You know.
So just to give people an idea of how advanced things are now, for a dairy farmer that has invested in some of your products, just how much information can they actually get through their phone?
I suppose, you know, the big shift on is trying to make things more efficient for the farmer. So it's not necessarily that he's access to a huge amount of data, it's that he's access to the relevant data and to the data that he needs. So for the likes of a dairy farm, a big part of his day is trying to manage cows and trying to sort cows. So, you know, with the likes of our new draft now, he has the information on his phone that he can click on any cow and he can select her to be pulled out after milking. So it just saves him a lot of time and effort. And as I said, we do have other systems as well, like our heat detection systems, and that collects an absolute mountain of data on the cloud-based system. But the farmer doesn't necessarily need to have access to all that. He just basically needs to know which cows are the ones that are in heat. And the system will do that automatically. It'll automatically process the data and pull down the cows that are in heat and draft those cows out. So it's about collecting all the data, but then actually delivering it back down in a meaningful manner.
The company has been very successful. It's grown, and indeed, your products are used in many countries throughout the world.
We're in over 40 countries around the world, and that number keeps growing year on year.
For many farmers, you know, it can be quite a big capital investment, but obviously there needs to be a payback, and technology is moving on so much. In terms of competition, is it a very competitive market out there?
It is competitive, you know, but I suppose, again, I bring it back to it's about the efficiency, you know, and no matter what you're trying to sell to a farmer, he has to be able to get the benefit, he has to be able to get the payback, and it has to make him and what he's doing a lot more efficient. One of the big drivers that we've seen over the last while is labour, you know, the cost of labour and the availability of skilled labour is now, you know, it's not easy to get anymore. And as I said, the only way to get around that is to try to make things more efficient and try to use technology and try to use automation to cut down on labour, basically.
And, of course, this technology also helps increase the milk yield, reducing the milking times. And I suppose it also can cut energy costs.
Yeah, energy is the key word that's out there now. And in terms of whatever equipment the farmer has on his farm, he has to make sure that that's efficient, and he has to make sure that, you know, whatever feed is given to the cows, that first of all, you know, that he's making the best use of that. So, you know, it could be very simple things like we talk a little bit about energy, and we talk about likes of variable speed drives. So that mightn't mean much to a lot of people now, but that's basically where you're able to fine tune the pumps on the farm, that they're, you know, when they're not under load, that you're not actually generating, or you're not actually using too much energy, and they're able to ramp up when the actual energy is needed. That can save a huge amount of energy on the farm. And when we talk about feed, you know, we talk about the cost of feed and the availability and how much resources it takes to produce feed. And what we try to do is you try to optimize the cows that are actually getting that. So what you're doing is you're using your system to actually figure out which cows are actually still producing a lot of milk, and you're giving them a small little bit of extra feed just to make that more efficient. So you're not giving the cow that's you know, the cow that has dropped off in her milk yield, you're not trying to feed her too much, but yet at the same time you're trying to promote your good cow, and your cow that's doing very well, you're trying to keep her milk yield up. There's always a capital investment, but as I said, the returns are there, whether it's through energy or whether it's through feed or it's through labour.
And tell us a little bit about the different cooling systems and again how technology has made such a difference.
We regard the milk tank on the farm is almost like the, you know, it's like the safe in a bank. This is where his capital is tied up, you know, and that has to be managed correctly, and it has to be efficient, and it has to be safe and reliable. So we would have launched, I think it's a good number of years ago now, we launched our cool control tank, which has a SIM card inside it. And this is actually linked to the guy's phone then, so it'll send him a text message. So if anything happens on the tank, he'll be able to get a text message. So at all times, he can see that it's working. He can see that it's cooling the milk. He can see that it's washing, and he can see when his collections are occurring as well. And tied to that then, we tried to make the tanks more efficient themselves. You know, so whether it's through thicker steel or better insulation in the tank, you're trying to drive down that so that, you know, basically once the milk is cooled, tank doesn't have to come on again in between milkings. And then we, even for, you know, other stuff that's even more relevant again today, we're trying to use night saver electricity. So at off peak times, you're trying to actually bring down the milk a little bit cooler, and then the tank has less work to do during the peak hours.
And another area particularly significant, the whole area of herd fertility and health. Give us an idea of just how much the Dairy Master technology has made a difference there.
When we talk about fertility, we talk about fertility in Ireland, and we talk about our grass-based system and trying to make the best use of the grass. And the only way you can do that is if you're successfully able to get your cows back in calf. And, you know, and that gives you a window, you know, a very small window with which you have to breed the cow, and you have to breed her accurately to get her back in calf. So we use technology where we put smart devices onto the cow's necks, and that's able to analyse their movement. And from the movement then, from a recorded movement, we can figure out their actual fertility pattern and figure out the days that they're in heat. And then we can send messages down to the farmer or down to the inseminator then to figure out what's the optimum time to breed the cow. So this kind of technology has really helped the farmers. What before would have been a very labour-intensive, it would have been very labour-intensive to actually do accurate fertility, where you'd have to go out and monitor the cows for days and days on end, trying to figure out when they're in heat and the best time to inseminate them. So it takes all that guesswork out of it. It gives him the power of that back into his phone. And again, that's all linked back into the automation of the system. So it's, you know, you can have a scenario where the farmer just comes out after milking and the couple of cows that he needs to inseminate that day are already drafted into the pen. And again, if you talk about efficiency and you talk about power, energy and all that, you really want to be trying to maximise the grass, and then you want to be trying to, you know, to cut down the minimum amount of milking during the winter. Maybe, you know, not even milk at all during the winter, you know, and cut down the energy cost for that.
And finally, Michael, obviously backup and service is such a key thing. And, you know, a companies like Dairy Master, your reputation is enhanced by that quality service that you can provide.
Yeah, we want to have everything backed up online. So our new herd management package, the M360, this is what we launched at the ploughing. So again, that's, you know, that's taking the information that's stored on the farm and it's storing up in the cloud system in a replica database that gives you access to it 24/7. And, you know, we've got a great support team, and with the technology that's there, if a farmer is having an issue on his farm, we're able to connect into his local computer, or we can connect into his cloud system, and we can give him instant support.
And that was Michael Ryan, software engineer and very much involved in research and development with Dairy Master. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, October the 27th. The death has taken place of Mary Deary, Tulnaree, Carndonagh. Mary's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10:15, going to the Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Norma McNamee, née Harper, 75 Summerhill Court, Strabane, and formerly of Sion Mills, reposing at her home this evening from 6 o'clock. Service in her home on Saturday afternoon at 12:30, with removal at 1 o'clock for cremation in Necklands Crematorium at 3 o'clock. The death has taken place of Charlie Cullen, Strand Road, Bombay, Gidor. Remains reposing at his home with rosary each night at 8 o'clock. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral mass on Saturday morning in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards to Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Una Mooney, née Leedon, Swilly Road, Buncrana, formerly of Balnamore, County Leitrim. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Colm Doherty, Stonywood, Culdaff. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Boken, Culdaff, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Colm's funeral mass can be viewed live on culdaffparish.com. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.